numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Vidlin. Kelly, I think we buried the headline. Except for the payout, we didn't really bury the headline. But you won on National Treasure in the Preakness? Good for you, man.
What a horse race, man.
Hey.
I think that's the first time.
How much did you win?
I don't know, 5 years or something.
You won nothing.
I don't even know. Yeah, I bet $50 on it, so I don't even know what it ended up being in the parimutuels.
Woohoo.
And then, Matt Brown hit the trifecta. That didn't pay out much.
That didn't pay out much either. That's what happens when there's seven horses. Well, good for you. And National Treasure winning it, of course. Good for you. Congratulations.
Throwing darts. I was betting on old Bobby Baffert coming back with a vengeance.
Bob
like he
Baffert
had anything
angle.
To do with it.
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from someone who calls himself Fezzik South Point Runner. It says, love the conversation about value of regular season for NBA teams. Knicks are one end of the spectrum. Heat and Clippers are at the other end. Literally every team manages the regular season differently. It's a spider web. Dale Bob. Since you won't just tell me your favorite sushi restaurant, how about I trade my 20-1 ticket on Denver to win the championship, and you just take me there? Or I'll just hire a chef myself once that cashes. How much did you put on that 20-1 ticket is what I'd like to know before I answer that question.
That's what you need to know, yeah.
If it's $2, then no. If it's $1,000, well, sure.
I'll give a restaurant shout-out real quick. I was just telling you during the break. Oh. Scotch 80 in the Palms.
Yeah.
Matt Brown and I ate there over the weekend. One of the best steaks I've ever had in my life.
Very nice.
The rib cap over there. Oof. Very good. Very good. Highly recommend.
You know what we had last week? Morimoto. Have you ever been there at MGM
mm-hmm.
Grand? Really?
Yeah.
Really good.
I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah.
Good spot.
I hadn't been there in a long, long time either. Really good. Jake Miller. The Miami series is a perfect example of you can't just use analytics for your handicap. Alan Boston uses stats and info for college basketball, but he also understands the player's mentality, team's personality, and motivation on a per-game basis. Even then, it's tough to win. Well, listen. This is all one big alchemy. Like, if this was easy, if you just had to look at one thing, we wouldn't have much to talk about. But it's when you see, it's just, if you do this long enough, you just have, my point in the first segment was you just got to recognize when the meatball's coming. And last night felt like as big of a meatball as you're going to get in anything when that line moved to 4.5. Jesse Welch, your first segment rundown has me thinking specifically about trusting the Nuggets to win it all. I number grabbed a ton of heat numbers at big heat tickets at big numbers, he said. Brian M. Denver beating Miami was 16-1 on May 11th at Caesars in Massachusetts. So I was mentioning how it was 12-1. Rich PSM doesn't agree. He says, no, the Heat thing needs two things: poorly coached opponents and a postseason superstar like the Bucks in 2021. If the Bucks, Sixers, Celtics, Packers had better coaches, this doesn't happen. Well, yeah, there's that, for sure. Stephen Vegas, I was able to get 75-1 on the Nuggets over the Heat in the finals on April 30th. 75-1.
There you go, Stevie.
I put a whopping $8 on it as a small hedge on a 50-1 Lakers ticket I also had. It was still 18-1 2 weeks later when I bet it again. We've seen this Jimmy Butler movie before. And then Roger Kane, FYI, while you were talking about St. Louis winning the Central, BetMGM went from plus 225 to plus 190 before I could hit the send button.
Damn.
Didn't I do that? Is Nick here with us? Yes, Nick is here. Nick Whalen, everybody, from RotoWire to talk NBA with us. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing great. Heard you guys talking about the Miami-Boston series, of course, which is, I think, going to go down as an all-time shocker, especially if Miami closes this thing out in four.
Well, this would be the second all-time shocker of the postseason for the Heat, because I make the case that the Heat beating the Bucks, and we went through it point by point at the time, you could very convincingly make the case that's the greatest single-series upset in modern basketball history. And now, mm-hmm. yet here we are, and the Heat on the cusp of being the second 8 seed to get to an NBA Finals. The 1999 Knicks were the first, but that was a 50-game season. It was a lockout-shortened season. So this is its own thing already. And, hey, if you're the Heat, you're thinking, why stop there? Let's do the unthinkable. And if that happens, does this not become one of the greatest sports stories in American modern history? It is, right?
I think it has to be. I think we're already getting close. I mean, even if we just get a really competitive finals, I think we're still going to remember this Heat team in a completely different light than we do certainly any team that's been a runner-up or even a lot of these teams that have won the finals over the last couple of decades. I know there was a thread going around basketball Twitter last night saying, you know, when has there been a playoff run or a playoff series this memorable for one specific team? And, you know, a lot of people brought up, obviously, the Cavs 3-1 comeback against the Warriors. And, you know, that one, everybody remembers that if you're an NBA fan, of course. But that's also a team that had LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love.
That's
right? I think this Miami team, this Miami team, like, they have a superstar in Jimmy Butler. And that's a whole different conversation now. But, like, where's Jimmy Butler, you know, legacy-wise kind of fit in all this long-term? Because I think we've had to kind of do a complete reassessment for a guy who paces himself differently than most of the other superstars in the league. But you know, I keep forgetting, even watching these games against Boston, it's like, oh yeah, they're missing a 20-point-per-game scorer in Tyler Hero. Doesn't matter. Gabe Vincent could just give you 20, you know, as basically a backup point guard turned starter. You know, Caleb Martin's averaging like 19 points per game off the bench in this series. And, you know, one of the tweets that you read from one of your listeners, I think, is actually pretty accurate. Obviously, Miami deserves a ton of credit here, but I think they've run into some really advantageous matchups coaching-wise, right? Like, if Ime Udoka is coaching the Boston Celtics, I don't think they're down 3-0 in this series right now. We know about Coach Bud, his kind of stubbornness in these situations. I think that certainly played into the Bucks losing that series in five, as did Giannis missing half of the series as well. That to me, is kind of the one caveat that you can make if you want to defend the Bucks. But I think the coaching mismatches have been the number one thing that Miami has had in its favor throughout this run. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. And I think we might be seeing the most lopsided of those right now.
Yeah, and there's no question that's part of it. And the Knicks in between weren't very good of a basketball team anyway. So throw that in the mix. The Heat didn't have to be very good to beat them. When all this was on the heels, it was the very first segment of the show, I sort of got into this thing where I'm like, you know, is this proof that in the NBA, it's not every team, and it's certainly not most teams, but it's probably more than just the Heat, where teams manage these regular seasons their own way. And so as a result of that, there's going to be a lot of NBA analytics that are just kind of, for lack of a better term, dirty. Like, the data's dirty. And it will take you off. It will not only take you off the scent, it will harm you, because you will just believe things. Like, your eyes will, and some major numbers, right, some analytics, will lead you to believe certain things about teams that are not true at all. And that when they actually get to the regular to the postseason, you know, this version of the Heat might be more akin to some of the things that we saw 2 years ago with the Heat. So I guess what I'm saying is, that's a tough pill to swallow for NBA analytics people. But I just want to throw that out there, that this might be more prevalent than they think.
I think so. I think a lot of teams are going to kind of try to use this as a model. And it's going to be incredibly difficult to replicate, by the way. I mean, finding, you know, picking out guys out of the G League, essentially, to become 25 to 30 minute per game contributors for a playoff team, it's not sustainable. Miami has done something extremely unique here.
You're right.
I think you're totally right. You know, I'm going to be talking to you guys come like March of next year about, you're like, well, who are you comfortable betting to win the title right now? And we're going to say, well, you know, Miami, they're five games under 500, but remember what we saw with them last year. And you can even say that about last year's Boston Celtics too. I mean, they were 20-20, I think, at the 40 game mark. And they go on this remarkable second half run. They're a completely different team. They go all the way to the finals. So yeah, I don't know that we're going to see teams, you know, kind of intentionally, you know, lose games, intentionally pace themselves to that type of degree over an 82-game season. But I think this Miami narrative is going to keep coming up, not only next season, but for seasons to come, where if there's a team that we expected to be good that's not playing well, or a team that is playing maybe better than we expected, we're always going to say, well, you know, we saw that Miami team flip the switch. So literally anything can happen in the postseason. It's really going to muddy up those numbers. I mean, Miami, what were they, 25th? In offensive rating during the regular season. Like, there's no precedent for teams that are bottom five offenses all of a sudden making a run like this to the NBA finals.
None.
That's not even close.
Sort of what I'm getting at. I mean, okay, anything tonight, Nuggets Lakers game four. I want no part of this preflop. You?
Oh no. I bet the Nuggets money line and the over in game three. Luckily that one came through. You guys know I kind of lead Lakers. This has been a rough series for me, but this has all been about just a reminder that the Lakers have no shooting. I actually don't think LA has played that badly, but Denver's shooting 41% from three. They have five guys shooting 40% or better on their roster. They're plus 54 from beyond the arc through three games. And you could argue at this point that other than Austin Reeves, the Lakers have zero average to above average three-point shooters on this roster, and especially guys who are in the rotation. So I would not be surprised if the Lakers kind of roll over here and Denver takes care of business. Props-wise, I'm looking at LeBron over 24 and a half points tonight. He always finds a way in these situations to kind of salvage his numbers, even if it's a loss, you know, kind of try to shift that blame narrative that we've seen over the course of his career. LeBron triple doubles up close to 4-1 at DraftKings. I'd look into that. And then actually like Dennis Schroeder over 7.5 points, not even a Schroeder fan. I just think this could be the game where D'Angelo Russell plays like 12 minutes. And if that's the case, that means a lot more minutes for Schroeder. So pretty friendly there, pretty friendly number there, I should say, for the Schroeder points.
What do you think about tomorrow night's game, game four of the Heat and the Celtics?
Oh boy, I kind of want to see Miami just close this thing out, man. I mean, it was kind of alarming. I thought in the second half, the effort level for Boston, they let Miami kind of get under their skin. You know, Butler getting into it with Grant Williams, getting into it a little bit with Al Horford and Marcus Smart. And I don't know how you necessarily pick yourself off the mat if you're Boston. Being down 2-0 versus being down 3-0 is completely different. I think Miami probably wins this game. It's not going to be as much of a romp as it was in game three, but you guys know as well as I did. I mean, you watch the game, you watch the post-game coverage. Like, this seems like it goes well beyond just Boston having an off series. You know, I think there's some mistrust between Joe Mazzulla and this roster. I think there's a lot of questions about, okay, is Jaylen Brown on this roster next season? And to me, it feels like those things have kind of crept up during this playoff run, something that they hope they could address during the offseason. So I'm going to be on Miami tomorrow night.
I'm already on them. Already bet them. Close it out. Put the Celtics out of their misery. By the way, who's the MVP in each of these conference finals? Is it Murray or Jokic in the West? And who is it in the East? Is it Butler? I don't even know. I'm just thinking out loud. Because you could have bet on these things.
Butler and Murray,
probably. Although Jokic might have something to say about that. But yes, probably Butler and Murray. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it, man.
Nick, anytime, guys.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire. At Whalen, substitute number one for the L. Coming back on golf next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. That is to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Nash, last name Nash. He says, imagine how much regret Philly has seeing Jimmy Buckets take down the Celtics as the only superstar while their MVP asked for more help after losing to the same very team. He means the very same team, I guess. Yes, that. The fact that Harden is probably going to leave and go to the Rockets anyway. After Embiid was like, you know, me and James need more help.
He liked Doc. We have no idea how furious Embiid might be with the Sixers right now.
He might want out. We also talked about, yeah, and yes, on the Jimmy Buckets thing, I talked about this last week, how Jimmy Butler left the Sixers essentially because the Sixers chose Ben Simmons over him. This is essentially what it came down to. And at the time, Jimmy Butler was also like, who was the coach at the time? Bruce Brown was the coach at the time. And he was just like, I don't know who's in charge here. Like, I don't know anything of what's happening at any moment. So... But ultimately, was Simmons over him selected? He only played one season with the Sixers. They had a great year. They won over 50 games. And that was the year where Kawhi beat them in the playoffs, where the ball hit the rim 55 times before it went in. I believe it was four times, by the way, not 55. Okay, and I want to read this tweet, too, because, again, this is about what I was saying in the first segment. So Al Giannis said about me saying, you know, you gotta be able to recognize in sports betting that every once in a while you have a meatball down the middle of the plate, and you have to be able to recognize that. Now, Giannis said, the thing is, sports betting throws you a real meatball what percent of the time? 1%? And how many times do you think you have a meatball? And it turns out not to be a lot, so I don't know. And Patrice, 4725, said, agreed, if it was as easy as picking off these meatballs, no one said it was. He said, we'd be all living on a private island, as bettors, we tend to only remember the ones that win. There is nobody more sensitive to confirmation bias than I am, sir. But what I'm trying to say, and I'm guessing neither of you had the Heat last night, that's the first thing, but I would say this, no one said it's easy. No one said it's easy. But if you've been around this long enough, the point that I'm trying to make is you become more skilled at recognizing when those moments are. So let me tell you the comparison that I made to friends yesterday about this game and about this series is from 20 years ago, and it involves another South Florida professional sports team. Do you know what I'm referring to, Kelly Bidlin?
Marlins.
That is exactly right. I'm referring to the Florida Marlins. In 2003, the Yankees were just coming off their golden era of winning World Series. And yes, they had lost to the Diamondbacks in the World Series 2 years before that. But here they were, still the Goliath in baseball, taking on this Florida Marlins team. Or at the time it was the Florida Marlins. And the Marlins were so clearly better than the betting markets were suggesting. And night after night after night, whether it was Josh Beckett or other pitchers, you realized if you were watching these games, oh my God, they're going to keep throwing out the Marlins at plus 190 every night, and the series price is still going to be plus 190, $2 on the Marlins. And you recognize if you go through enough experiences like that, when these moments occur, they are not often, to answer your question. And no one is suggesting it's easy to recognize them. But if you do this long enough, you do become more skilled in recognizing those moments, and you do become more skilled in then translating that recognition into actual bets that get triggered. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying any of us are infallible about it. Please don't misinterpret it as such. So there's that. And I think this series was that example, and this whole postseason has been that example. Anyway, it makes for an interesting case study, which we don't see every day in every sport.
Yes,
and certainly in the NBA, this is unprecedented, and I stand by what I said. People gave me flack for saying when they beat the Bucks, you could argue it's the greatest upset. It was like the fifth biggest upset by betting line in the history of the NBA, but I went through the top four and told you why you could still say this Heat one was over the Bucks was better. If they get to the finals, it's unprecedented, even though the 99 Knicks got there, lockout season, 50 games. If they win it all, dude, we didn't think this was possible in the NBA. And one of the things that I really sort of hate in life is when something happens that people didn't even conceive that it could happen before. And then we become so normalized to it as it's happening. We got to like recognize the moment. This is incredible.
Ridiculous.
This is off the chart. This doesn't happen in the NBA. So anyway.
Can I give an uplifting message to Knicks fans out there too?
Please. Yes, absolutely.
Rob Moreno, who does incredible work for this network and is running graphics for our show today, digging hard on the stats and info. Okay, how about this? The New York Knicks have won more games against the Miami Heat this postseason than the Bucks and Celtics combined. There you go, Knicks fans.
So
you got that. You got that.
So there's that. We should probably mention, too, this has nothing to do with sports betting, but the Michael Block story yesterday, the PGA, was the most heartwarming story of the weekend.
It was Tin Cup in real life. It was incredible.
Tin Cup in real life. PGA professional who finished in the top 15 with that up and down at 18 yesterday after an ace, after a hole in one on 15, that just is mind boggling. Like, did this really just happen? Even he couldn't believe it. He didn't see it. He says he didn't see the ball go in the hole. When Rory McIlroy comes to hug him, he's like, why is Rory hugging me?
That was the best part. He thought it was weird that Rory was hugging him. Yeah. He's like, I thought I put it like 10 feet to the pin. Why is Rory's hugging me over that? Like,
I put it on the dance floor and he's hugging me?
Like, at first he was like insulted by the hug.
Justin Ray, who always puts out great golf tweets at Justin Ray Golf. It would take two, by the way, he won, Michael Block did, over $280,000. It would take 2,307 of those $125 lessons. That's what Block said he charged. By the way, he later amended that. He said it's $150. Don't sell me short.
Yeah.
But if it was 125, the math that Justin Ray had here, it would have taken 2,307 of those lessons to make the same amount he made yesterday in the tournament, finishing in the top 15, officially bringing home this week $288,333. And with the top 20 finish, he has an exemption to next year's PGA.
Top 15.
Well, yeah, but he just had to finish top 20 to get that exemption, correct?
Well, I think it was top 15 for the PGA exemption.
Let me see.
I'm
checking on that because I have the graphic right here. If he had finished top four, you're right, top 15.
So think about it. He needed that ace, and he needed he needed that par on 18.
He needed the
up and down. Like, I was talking with the guys and I before the show were talking downstairs about this. Like, the hole in one was incredible, right? What a moment. Hole in ones are always going to require a little bit of luck, though, right? That up and down for par on 18
was beautiful.
That is a PGA Tour expert pro caliber level up and down.
100%.
And with the pressure on the line to lock in another spot in the PGA next year, just insane.
Top 15 players earned spot in 2024 PGA Championship. Top four would have earned him a spot in the Masters, by the way.
And shout out to Buddhist Man. If you want, if you, you can go over to my Twitter account, you got to check out the commercial that he did for his club back home. Yes. I think it's a couple years old, but oh man, is it funny.
Good on him. What a story. And good on him for, you know, immediately deflecting it to the other 29,000
yes.
PGA professionals out there representing that group of people. So he was just beloved by everybody. Rory was great as his partner. By the way, no PGA professional has ever finished in the top 10 in a major, and he almost got there.
It was getting a little dusty in my apartment yesterday talking. Yep.
Okay, Brooks Koepka wins it, as we said, and congratulations to all who had him. Who's the golfer that disappointed you the most? Who's the one where you're like, this?
Tony Finau.
Because he just shot through the stratosphere.
That's my, I guess, just initial response. Obviously, I responded before you even finished the damn sentence. Sorry, okay. Gil, because I do that all the time.
It's okay.
he was the guy, at least, that I was, one of the guys that I was loaded up on that I was pretty shocked he played as poorly as he did.
Finau, who, besides
I mean, John Rahm.
John Rahm, right? Clearly.
Yeah.
But it's like...
But, like, I don't, like, it, with him, it's...
He won the Masters. I mean, he'll be back.
Right, yeah, like, yeah. Is he allowed to have an off
sure.
week? Like, can we, you know?
Yeah, he can't be great.
Everybody was kind of making too big a deal of that, I felt like.
Did Rory, as great as Rory played, right, as good as Rory played, I had Scheffler and Rory. This was his in-laws. This is where his in-laws are from. He is so familiar with these courses. Yesterday, when he started off on the first hole, he had two perfect shots to begin. Perfect tee shot, and then, man, he almost stuck the approach. And he mm-hmm. birdies the first hole. And you're like, okay, this is it. This is the Rory day where he just comes from behind because he plays loose when he's from behind. Not all the attention's on him. This is it. And then he turns right around, and he just bogeys away. And for every great hole he had, he seemingly has one that just disappoints. For some reason, it's him that disappointed me the most because I had so much expectation.
Interesting. Okay. I was actually, just based off of kind of some of his recent struggles, I was impressed with what he did over the week. Like, the way he battled back, and you could say that about a lot of these
and
guys.
And the Michael Block thing could have been a distraction too, right?
Who knows, yeah. Good point. I mean, that's a weird situation for Rory to be playing in on a major Sunday, even though he seemingly handled it incredible.
Okay, I take it all back.
Man, there's a lot to take forward going through this tournament. Like, there was, I mean, Cam Davis?
Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, good thing I won on him last summer because as much money as I've given back, it's only going to continue, Gil, when you tease me like that.
Did DeChambeau, like, is he back in your good graces all of a sudden? Are you like, oh, this guy might be a thing now?
I have no idea.
No idea. I'll tell you what, you do have an idea. That Scheffler is going to be there every single timeout. It's amazing. Wes Reynolds, his thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Mike Stacks. If the gambling gods are listening to the futures market, we would have the Avalanche 2022 Cup champs, Nuggets 2023 NBA champs, and Broncos 2024 Lombardi winner 45-1. The state of Colorado could be producing winners. Shout out for the state of Colorado from Mike Stacks. Evan Klein, loving the peanut gallery today. Tweaker jumping up and down behind you while filming, and then a guy buzzing by you on a jazzy scooter.
There was one blow by. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
Some guy just threw up some rock on signs behind you. It was cool.
They could be doing all kinds of
things. I didn't notice the other ones. Yes,
Jason H11. I might have been the only one who was not happy with Block's hole in one. I had a substantial bet on no hole in one for the tournament. That feel good moment had me feeling like breaking my TV.
Everything the betting that happened this weekend in all the entire golf tournament, I got more tweets about that, Gil, than anything. Which makes it great. Like, we talk about all the time, right, of blowout games,
yes.
right, where you're like, well, some people it still matters too, so don't act like this game matters. The feel-good story of the tournament. For bettors, you piece of crap! What
that
are you
doing? That is the quintessential, the where bettors cannot enjoy human moments like that, right? Here's this wonderful human moment, but because you have action on it, you're like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, God. Bettors. Love you. Love all of us. Joe Nigro, Oppo bad beat. I needed Yelich to get a hit in the last at bat to win a 238-1 same game parlay. He hits a towering pop. All infielders converge. The ball drops 3 feet from the mound untouched. I will remember next time I lose an unlosable game. 238-1?
Damn.
You sure that was scored a hit, by the way? Just curious. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the glue that holds this whole operation together, and I was thrilled to see him among some other VEASAN hosts at Jeff Parlay's wedding this weekend in Chesterfield, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis, to be exact. Jeff and his lovely new bride considering taking the name Parlay instead of Parles, should be noted. So we're going to see if that's the case. Wes Reynolds joins us, everybody. How you doing, Wes?
I'm well, Gil. Jeff's better half is now Parles in charge. Jeff Parles is no longer Parles in charge, as Kelly Bidlin has famously named him.
That's right.
Yeah, Parles no longer Parles in charge. I like that. Did any of the props hit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, there were gambling references galore.
In the speeches?
In Ben Wilson's speech.
Yes.
That went over, didn't it, Wes, would you say?
That was happening.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That went over. There was no bouquet or band thrown.
Oh, so really?
Jeff was okay. Correct. That did not happen.
Who was the best VEASAN dancer?
Who was the best VEASAN dancer, Wes?
Probably the most active one was Todd Wishnev.
Active.
The most active one.
Active.
Because he was soaked after a few of those dances.
Active. It's very, he was soaked. No question about it. Wes, by the way, the co-host of VEASAN Tonight, which he does with Matt Humans Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern time here on the network. I was just asking Kelly, obviously Brooks Koepka ends up winning the PGA Championship, his third PGA, his fifth major. Did you have any Koepka?
For a top 20, not for the victory. And I probably should have come on in on Brooks Koepka based on what I saw with the Masters. But you never really know, Gil, especially. And that's what's one of the most difficult things about this LIV Tour in terms of a betting standpoint. Put aside what you might feel about it personally or the reason why it exists or the people behind it. But the fact is, we don't get that data on these guys. So we don't know really how well these guys are playing because they're playing against a 48 player field, three rounds, 54 holes. So you never really know. But to see Brooks Koepka, we kind of saw the old Brooks Koepka, who really gets up for the majors, who gets up for the big stages. He's now won 5 career major championships. So look, credit to him. He kept it together. He played well, you know, didn't really do anything wrong, just did kind of everything good. And that was going to be enough to win. And when Victor Hovland hit that poor shot on 16, it was all but over.
Do you immediately now look to the U.S. Open at Los Angeles Country Club in L.A. next month, middle of June, and say to yourself, huh, Brooks Koepka still, you know, a nice little price there, somewhere between, you know, depending shopping around, but like around 18-1-ish, 14-1 to 18-1, somewhere in that pocket. Do you say to yourself, well, I got to have some of that?
Well, I mean, you would have to certainly at least look at him because the top of the board is going to stay the same with Rahm and Scheffler. And then Rory McIlroy, when you get out on him, he kind of brings you back in. And that's what he really did all weekend, because you even saw it yesterday at the beginning of the final round on Sunday. He knocks it to within like a foot on the first hole. Oh. Kick in birdie.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, here we go. You know, Rory's going to make a little run here on Sunday. And then he gives it right back the next hole. And he did that like all week.
Exactly.
Great
what
shot
I said.
Where he reminds you, hey, I'm Rory McIlroy. Yeah, I'm Rory McIlroy. And then all of a sudden, you know, he hits a wayward drive off the tee, or he hits a poor approach like he hit on number two yesterday. And he's just not putting it all together. And I actually thought maybe he might make a run because being paired with Michael Block, now, conventional wisdom would say, oh, Michael Block's a club pro, so he's going to be like all over the place. You know, he's going to shoot like 80 or something, and that's going to wear on Rory.
Oh, I think we might have lost Wes.
I agree, Wes.
We'll we'll effort Wes again. By the way, just got a text from Michael Montesano, who won the booby prize at Circa the first week. And he was saying, players, golfers that the experts, in quotes, he said, should never bet to win in majors. Xander, Finau, Cam Young is his list of three. Who do you think you will have at the U.S. Open, right? Like, if I you have no bets currently, Kevin?
No, I made a couple.
Oh, who you got?
You know what's kind of interesting is my initial reaction actually after that was to scoop up a bit of Hovland at the longest number I could find. Vic's been consistent, man.
You buy into the he doesn't have the killer instinct narrative that people like with him?
He's a kid, man. Like, I don't know. Let's give this a few more years. Some of these guys we instantly judge, like, what, Colin Morikawa is like a crappy golfer now because he hasn't won a major in like a year and a half. He's still so young. Like what? Like some of these guys, let's give a little break. Like guess what? Nobody's won a major until they win a major, right? Like that's what happens. So my initial reaction
I'm told that's true.
My initial reaction was to grab a Hovland number before it disappeared. And Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, 25.
Oh, God, you and Patrick Cantlay. Wes Reynolds rejoins us. What about you, Wes? Like, who's the golfer yesterday where you're like, and, you know, where you're just like, I can't do this guy. I can't bet this guy anymore. Like, it's too much for me.
You know, it probably ends up being Xander Schauffele, who, you know, is kind of infamous for, he's been in the mix a couple times in majors, but if you really look at, like, the Wikipedia graph or whatever, you see a lot of top fives. But it's not like he's really been right there to win this thing. But, you know, some of these guys, you know, like I was talking about with Rory before he cut out, they suck you back in. And one that Kelly mentioned, Patrick Cantlay. You know, I saw him get on a little bit of a run. I was like, okay, too little, too late. You know, where he gets to, I think he was like 4 under through 10 holes on Sunday. And Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, at least if you believe the official world golf rankings, are probably the best players not to win a major. Some would throw Finau in there and the like. But Patrick Cantlay, look, he's got the game. And you look at the numbers, like when Kelly and I and Matt Brown run these stats and run the numbers every week, Patrick Cantlay's right up there at the top. Strokes gained total, strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained putting. You're like, why doesn't this guy win more? Why hasn't this guy won a major? So, you know, it's timing with everybody, I think. And that's what it is. Some guys win right away, and then they don't win for a while. Look at Brooks Koepka, how good he was, where it was like, hey, maybe this guy's going to win double-digit majors. And then he has some injuries, and then he kind of loses his confidence. If you watched the Full Swing series on Netflix, and now he's back to where he was about 3 or 4 years ago.
That point you made about LIV and not having the data before is an interesting one. Do you feel like majors moving forward in your golf handicapping career, like you'll have to just sort of accept that you'll bet these guys in tournament instead of pre-flop?
Yeah, I think so. One example that you saw yesterday, now he wasn't a contender to win, but Cameron Smith at one point was like 6 under on his round, deep into the back nine. So, you know, some of these guys, you got to play a little bit of a guessing game. And now there's only a few really at the top that I think you could say they're viable contenders in majors, the Koepkas and the Cameron Smiths and the DJs, putting aside yesterday. But yeah, you kind of have to play a little bit of a guessing game with these LIV numbers.
All right. Other side, Wes kind enough to join us for a couple segments. Wes is more rapid fire with Wes Reynolds. We'll ask him questions from across the sports betting landscape, golf included, though. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense agents remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us. He's the co-host of VSiN Tonight, which he does here nightly on the network with Matt Eumanns. Before we get into Wes's more rapid fire with Wes Reynolds, so the U.S. Open next month in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Country Club. Have you made any bets yet, Wes? Or if not, who might you be eyeing?
I have not, but one that I think I have to be eyeing, Kelly Bidlin actually led into in the last segment, and that's Victor Hovland, who, look, I know he finished T2 and he hit that bad shot on 16 that pretty much ended his chances. But if you look at how he played as well as anybody, ended up being a T2 two strokes back. But number one on approach this weekend at the PGA Championship. And that's not really surprising. He's pretty darn good with his irons. What was really surprising, though, is he was number one in scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
17 out of 21 for 81% for ups and downs. And that's always what you look at Victor Hovland in the weakness of his game, is around the green. His chipping can be kind of poor. The short pitches around the green, his putting can be very erratic. And I thought he pretty much held up his end of the bargain, despite the fact he didn't win the trophy yesterday. So Victor Hovland, you know, getting that major scar tissue. And I mentioned this, actually, I did a spot with Femi and JVT yesterday talking about Brooks Koepka. When you get that scar tissue back, which I think Brooks got at the Masters, you know, just getting back in the thick of things, man, when he hadn't been in it in a while in a major championship, I think that toughens you up for further major championships down the line. So Victor Hovland in the 20 to 25, I will probably have Patrick Cantlay. I'm sure Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Max Homa, Morikawa, a lot of the California guys will be very popular at this event coming up at the LA Country Club.
Just real quick to follow that up, Hovland, more strokes gained to this tournament around the green than off the tee. That is something you never see with Victor Hovland. And I forget how it went with and Happy Gilmore, but Happy learned how to chip. Like, watch out.
All right, it's time for Wes's More. Rapid fire with Wes Reynolds. Do we have a jingle, Kelly?
It's being worked on.
Oh.
In coming weeks.
Wes is more. Wes is more. Wes is more. Wes is more. Wes Reynolds, rapid fire. Here we go. We will have a multiple major winner in golf this year, meaning John Rahm and or Brooks Koepka will win another of the final two. Yes or no?
I'm going to say no, just because of the fact that we have so many good players at the top that I think have shown signs of, like, those little short-term dominance periods that we talk about, Gil, whether it's Scotty Scheffler, whether it's Rahm, or whether it's somebody that's going to come off the grid that maybe starts playing well in the summer or into the fall.
Michael Block will make the cut at next year's PGA. Yes or no?
Well, he's going to be 48 next year, so I hate to, you know, throw water on it, but I'm going to say no, even though it was the story of the weekend, and I just think it was great to have a club pro, because a lot of people don't know that the PGA Championship is the only event where you don't have any amateurs. You have 20 club professionals that qualify for this every year, so Michael Block was representing them this weekend, and I thought he did so very well.
The Vegas Golden Knights will win the Stanley Cup. Yes or no?
I have to say yes, because Vegas has proven that they can play multiple styles. If you look in the Edmonton series, where it's like, okay, they're outgunned offensively with McDavid and Draisaitl and everybody. Edmonton's such a high-powered offense, and Vegas was able to outscore them. And then you have a defensive series like this one is with the Dallas Stars, where it's a lot more low-scoring. I like these teams that can play at any tempo, that can win either outscoring you or being good with defense and goaltending, and the Vegas Golden Knights have shown they can do that.
How many bets? You're an Indiana kid. How many bets will you have on the Indy 500, and give us one of them?
I will probably have four or five drivers, and I'm actually going through this because it's the closest field that we have had. I believe that Alex Palou, by the way, set the all-time pole record speed this weekend. Just one driver didn't qualify, and ironically enough, it was Graham Rahal, whose father, Bobby Rahal, won the 86 Indy 500. got bumped on the last day in 1993. So 30 years ago, Graham's father gets bumped, and then Graham gets bumped at the final gun yesterday in Indianapolis. So I will have a mix of some guys. I will have some Alex Pillow. I will probably have some Scott Dixon as some of the shorter shots. They're both Chip Ganassi racing drivers. And then I'll probably have one as kind of a, you know, a modeling bet or a salute to Tony Kanaan, the former Indy 500 winner. This is his last lap, and this is his final race. And he's actually with the Arrow McLaren team. McLaren, of course, famous for Formula One. They also have an IndyCar team, and he's got a really good ride, and he's got a really fast car.
You're going to have some Alex Pillow, aren't you, Kelly, the Indy 500?
I mean, you have to every year.
I mean, you got to. You have to.
Or a week. Or
when you went to Missouri here this weekend for a Parlay's wedding, you took in a Cardinals-Dodgers game on Friday night. I mentioned this earlier. Will the St. Louis Cardinals win the NL Central? And not only that, will they win the pennant, Wes?
I don't know if they'll win the pennant, but I think they've got a shot at the Central. And I got to give a little hat tip to a guest that Matt and I have on regularly on VSiN tonight, Wayne Krivsky, the former Cincinnati Reds general manager. He said, don't give up on these Cardinals yet. And I've been riding them for a week and a half, you know, a couple losses here and there. But this team looked absolutely DOA, and Marmol is still trying to learn how to manage. But even though I went to the game on Friday night and they only had two hits, got shut out by the Dodgers, took 3 of 4 from these guys this weekend. And all of a sudden they're coming, and there's no world beaters in that Central Division. Cubs have kind of come back to earth. So have the Pirates. The Brewers maybe were cast aside a little bit too early, but they can still have some trouble scoring runs. So I think the Cardinals, even though they're a few games under 500, they would be my pick to win this division.
All right. Jeff Parlay will have a child within 5 years. Yes, -110. No, -110. I don't know how that slipped in there. Sorry.
I'm going to go with the yes.
Yes, -110. This would be better with wacky game show music behind us. Okay, who's winning
We can do that.
Who's winning the WNBA title? I know you delve in that as well.
Well, you can't. I don't know if you could go outside the Aces or the Liberty. Now, I'm not going to necessarily bet that's going to be the final, because I think you have a couple good teams lurking. I think the Washington Mystics, even though they lost yesterday, could be very good. But the Aces and the Liberty are like a super team. I was following a little bit of that Liberty game against my hometown Indiana Fever, who, by the way, are getting in prime position to maybe draft Caitlin Clark. I don't know if there's not like a suck for luck like there was for Andrew Luck. So I don't know of a clever phrase for Caitlin Clark in Indianapolis, but yeah, the Fever just got obliterated by the Liberty. Breonna Stewart, if you remember her, the former UConn star, was player of the year a couple times. Had been by the middle of the third quarter yesterday. And actually, I think the Fever and Liberty pushed on 17 because the Liberty scored only like 5 or 6 points or something like that in the fourth quarter. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to Aces and Liberty.
All right, two more and then we're out. Indianapolis Colts, the suck for luck team you were just mentioning. You are an Indianapolis kid. 12-1, worst record in the NFL this year. Bet or no bet?
No bet for me, because I think, look, the one saving grace whenever you're not having high expectations about the Indianapolis Colts is it's the AFC South. And nobody's really great. Obviously, Houston is still a massive rebuild. I think Jacksonville, maybe the cart is a little bit before the horse. They certainly have improved, but we're casting aside Tennessee a little bit. I think the Colts are going to be a little more competitive. So I don't think they're going to have the worst record.
All right. This one might not have an answer because you might not have seen it yet, but is the Donna Summer documentary on HBO Max the worst documentary you've ever seen?
I have not seen it yet. Gil, did you watch that?
I tried. It was horrific. Seriously, I don't know like what they were thinking, but it should have been a podcast. They have people talking about it, and they're just audio the whole time. I was like, there's a format that's already been made for this. It's called radio. Like, I just don't understand why they did it. Anyway.
I read the review on it, Gil, because we were talking about that. I was like, yeah, I'd like to see this because we're suckers kind of for these music docs.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't chronicle her comeback in the 80s after disco had died.
Dude.
They didn't chronicle that like at all, apparently, in this documentary. I'm like, that's a huge moment in her career.
What was that name of the song? Give Me Your Unconditional Love. Yeah, she had a massive hit in the 80s. That's right. I usually come on here and give documentary recommendations. I could not recommend this less. Like, this was just awful. So, it's a tough watch. Wes, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. We'll catch you tonight.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Wes Reynolds on VSiN tonight with Matt Eumanns. 9 p.m. Eastern, right here at VSiN. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.